It's great to be with y'all this evening. It's funny, I had the 8 a.m. Mass today and now the 7:15, so both the book ends. So it's great to be here on the second Sunday of Advent. You know, I heard this gospel today, especially the brood of vipers part. It brought me back to my college days. I lived with a group of guys from here at St. Mary's in a house, sophomore through senior year, and I think it was junior, senior year. We had all of our dishes in the sink. One of the guys wasn't cleaning them. So after hearing this gospel, one of the guys like printed out this sign that said, "You brood of vipers, clean up your dishes," or something like that, and stuck it on the sink. So a little passive aggressive, but at least it was scriptural, right? So if you have that issue in your house, feel free to take that idea. All right, so I just want to jump in today to the scripture. So in the second Sunday of Advent, remember, Advent has two comings of Jesus. You know, we celebrated the second coming we hear about, where Jesus comes to judge the earth in the first Sunday of Advent. Now, Holy Mother Church is bringing us back to that first coming at Christmas, helping to prepare our hearts, specifically with this awesome character of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we've probably heard about since we were a kid. You know, definitely an amazing man. He's the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament, one of the greatest prophets. You might say he's the OG granola. You know, he's out there in the desert, probably living out of his car, eating locusts and honey, probably had a slack line out there. That's who our John the Baptist is. That's the type of character that he is, and probably he'd be that granola character today. But primarily, he's this proclaimer of this Advent preparation of the Lord. You know, I was talking to Father Charlie Banks, our elderly priest that comes in to help us out on Mondays, and you know, he was saying probably John the Baptist would be canceled in our culture today. He's a pretty straight shooter, you know. He's not mincing his words. He's saying it as it is. And it's true, and I like that about him. You know, he's saying the truth. He's saying Jesus is coming, and we need to prepare ourselves for that. Now, there's two things about John the Baptist I want to look at today of what he helps us to understand, especially in the mind of a first century Jew, which is who Jesus is walking with at this moment, who John the Baptist is walking with, who we hear about in our gospel. So the first one is about this new Exodus that's being ushered in that the people were waiting for. And the second, the new Elijah. So first off, when we're looking at the new Exodus, so if you remember, what's the old Exodus? What was the first Exodus? So we know that the Jewish people, the people of Israel, they're in Egypt. We hear about this if you watch the Prince of Egypt cartoon, right? So we hear of the Pharaoh who's oppressing the people. And so it's Moses that comes and sets the people free. And they leave Egypt and they're heading towards the Promised Land. They go through the Red Sea. We know that the people, they are wandering forever in the desert until they finally cross the River Jordan and then they hit the Promised Land. So it's important for us to recognize that John the Baptist knows that he is this prophet, that he is preparing the way for the Lord. We even hear about it in our gospel, that he's the one that the prophet Isaiah was speaking of out in the desert, saying to prepare the way for the Messiah. So John the Baptist knows that he has this role. So he's purposely going to the desert. He's purposely going to the River Jordan to help the people know and make the connection, to connect the dots, about this first Exodus and him ushering in this new Exodus. Because the prophets told the people that there would be this new Exodus, that the Messiah would come and lead the people from this life into the new Jerusalem, or the heavenly Jerusalem, heaven. And so John the Baptist is purposely, it's not by accident, he's purposely at the River Jordan. That's why these Sadducees and these Pharisees are coming, the people who know the law very well, and know that that's when that this new Exodus is also going to be coming about. You know, I think it's important for us to recognize that, you know, this new Exodus is not only this recognition that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to lead the people, lead us to heaven, but also it's helping us to recognize that these prophecies of God throughout all of salvation history, since he chose the people of Israel, that they are being fulfilled. That God's prophecies, his promises to his people, are being fulfilled. And this promise, the prophecy that's the greatest, the ultimate one, is him sending his son Jesus to save the world, to save us from sin and death. But my friends, we know the story. You know, we know what comes after Jesus. We know that as he walked this earth, that he also promised things to us. I think it's important for us to look at those promises, because sometimes when I'm journeying with students, they start putting expectations on God, or maybe putting words in his mouth that he didn't say. You know, Jesus did not promise us in the Gospels, if you follow him, that you're going to get married. You know, Jesus didn't promise you in the gospel, if you follow him, that you're going to have kids someday. You know, Jesus didn't promise you, if you follow him, that you're going to have this awesome job. What does Jesus promise us? He promises us, if we follow him, if we die with him in the waters of baptism, then we will have life eternal. He promises us, if we seek, that we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. He promises us that he's going to send another advocate, and so he does. He sends us the power of the Holy Spirit to help guide us on this earth until we can reach him forever in all of eternity. He promises us, if we eat the bread of life from this altar, that it will lead us to eternal life. So I think it's good for us to check our pulse in our relationship with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord as college students. What are the promises that we can hold the Lord to? And then what are other things that happen in this life and things that we'll encounter in the future that Jesus doesn't promise? And to really take those false expectations off of God. If not, we're going to have a skewed vision of him, or we're going to start having resentment in our heart to him, or even anger or hate. But God says, I didn't promise you that. He says, if you pick up your cross and follow me, then you'll have life eternal. So something really good in the season of Advent is preparing our hearts for the Lord, of really allowing those to set into our hearts, into our minds, as we're seeking the Lord in our own sinfulness and our own weaknesses, trusting that, yes, God wants fullness for us. That's why he came, that we might have life to the full. But it's always on his terms, not on ours. All right, so we continue on. So that's the new exodus that John the Baptist is bringing about. The new exodus, this journey that each of us are on as well, as we journey with the Lord. Now, what is this about the new Elijah? So you remember, Elijah, one of the great prophets, that he came to the Jewish people, and that whenever he left this world, then they knew that he would come again right before the Messiah. And so all the Jews once again knew this. So therefore, John the Baptist is the new Elijah. How do we know this connection? Well, if we go back to the second book of Kings, if you brought your Bible with you, feel free to open up. Second book of Kings, chapter 1, verse 8. So this is about Elijah. We hear he wore a hairy garment with a leather belt around his waist. He wore a hairy garment with a leather belt around his waist. What do we hear about in our gospel today? We hear in verse chapter 4, from Matthew's gospel, chapter 3, verse 4. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. You know, why would you include those details? You know, the Jewish people knew the scripture. They knew the stories of Elijah. And they knew then at the River Jordan, in the desert, this man who's proclaiming the way of the Lord, of the Messiah, who's also wearing camel's hair and the leather belt around his waist, that this is the new Elijah proclaiming the new Exodus. Therefore, my friends, the Savior is near. We know that because it's been passed on to us, but those first century Jews had to connect the dots, and then they had this longing and this excitement that finally they would have the Messiah finally come into their presence. All right, so let's move in from our gospel into our first reading today. So this is coming from the prophet Isaiah. So this prophet Isaiah is the same one that was quoted in our gospel about John the Baptist proclaiming the way of the Lord. So when we go to the prophet Isaiah, we're actually going to go a little bit earlier. So the lectionary that the church gives us starts us at chapter 11, verse 1, but I want to go two verses before. Because in two verses before, we hear, "Now the Lord of hosts, is about to lop off the boughs in terrible violence. The tall of stature shall be felled, and the lofty one shall be brought low. He shall hack down the forest thickets with an axe, and Lebanon in its splendor shall fall." My friends, John the Baptist, once again, we're coming back to him. He knows his role as preparing the way for the Messiah. So that's why he purposely, as we hear again in the gospel, says in verse 10, "Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." So once again, these Jews before him knew of this prophecy of Isaiah. They're connecting the dots once more, and John the Baptist is bringing in this quote from Isaiah once more, being able to make this connection of the trees and that the Lord is coming to judge the earth. So if we continue on, maybe we're like, okay, we're looking at the little woe is me and you know, Jesus is coming to judge us. Let's go in a little bit to more of a sign of hope as the first reading continues on in the book of Isaiah. So as we look at Isaiah continuing on, so what we get in our gospel, or in our first reading for today from chapter 11, we hear, but a shoot shall sprout. It's almost like a hard thing to say. A shoot shall sprout. Say it five times. All right. But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. All right, a little audience participation. Who can tell me who is the son of Jesse? David. Awesome. Good job. Awesome. Good job. So King David is the son of Jesse. You probably heard about the Jesse tree. Maybe in your home parish, you heard of the Jesse tree. Sometimes it's an image that's in our sanctuaries with salvation history laid out through it. So one of the other prophecies that's being fulfilled is that the Jewish people knew that the Messiah was going to come from the line of King David, who is the son of Jesse. Now we know that Jesse's tree, his family tree, through King David, was cut off because David, who had a heart after the Lord, we know that he rejected the Lord. He fell into grave sin. He separated himself from the Lord. The Lord still forgave him, but he cut himself off. So we even see that that's why there's this stump that we hear about of Jesse, because his family tree had been cut off from the Lord. Now, if any of you who live out in the country, or if you've ever seen a tree cut down before, usually from a stump, there can be a blossom. There can be new life that comes about. And that's exactly what we're hearing about in our first reading, that there will be this bud from the stump that will blossom. Once again, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus in the line of King David, in the line of Jesse, that is this blossom that gives us a sign of hope. That no longer is the tree dead, but there is life through Christ. There is life through our Lord. All right, I want to end right now with just our preface, which comes from the Missal. So many of you know this, but our preface is always, I can just find it. Thank you. So right before the priest does the Eucharistic prayer over at the altar, there's always a preface. And especially at Advent, in different times, high times throughout the year, it's good for us to not just glaze over the words, but really to hear what is the church saying? What are we praying during this time? So the preface is the one, the Lord be with you, with your spirit, lift up your hearts, so we lift them up to the Lord. So I'll say in just a moment, it's truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. Here we go. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfilled the design you formed long ago. Once again, the salvation history, the promises of God being fulfilled, and opened for us the way to eternal salvation, that when he comes in glory and majesty at all his last made manifest, we who watch for the day may inherit the great promise in which we dare to hope. This promise of eternal life, the promises of God throughout salvation history that are being fulfilled. Starting on December 17th, our preface is going to change to this, which once again is pointing towards these prophecies and their fulfillment. So we'll start on December 17th when you go to Mass. You'll hear, for all the oracles of the prophets foretold him. The Virgin Mother longed for him with love beyond all telling. John the Baptist sang of his coming and proclaimed his presence when he came. So my friends, not only through Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the tradition of the church, as we're in this holy season of Advent, as we even see in the liturgy, you know, the Lord is desiring us through his bride, the church, to prepare our hearts, to allow John the Baptist to speak to us, to say, look throughout salvation history, look at our brothers and sisters of the past. The prophecies were proclaimed. They have been fulfilled. The Messiah has come. And now you and I are on this new exodus together. And the Lord gives us the choice. Are we going to journey with him and with his people from this life into the heavenly Jerusalem? Or are we going to reject him? He gives us that freedom. He gives us the freedom to choose to take a step for him, knowing his promises, knowing what he promises us whenever we say, all right, I'm picking up my cross and following you, Lord. And the beautiful thing is he says you don't have to carry that cross on your own, that he's going to carry it with you, that the church is going to carry it with you. But the key step, the key thing, is that we are taking steps. And the beautiful thing as well is that our God is merciful. So if we start taking steps in the wrong direction and we turn around, the Lord is always there to embrace us, because he desperately desires for us to be a part of this new exodus, to journey with him, just as our Jewish brothers and sisters, the Israelites, journeyed in the desert with John the Baptist until they were able to encounter the Messiah. And then they encounter the Messiah and they live life with him. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Keep on doing what we're doing, but doing it with the Lord. Keep on doing what you're doing, but doing it with Christ. Because my friends, if we live a life for Christ now, then we'll live life with him for all of eternity.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.